Chapter 6, The Mindset of True Persistence. When I talk about being persistent, understand that I'm not referring to using the same technique or tactic over and over again to try to attain a sale or a client. Never forget that being persistent has many facets to it. You must create and find as many facets as you can. Doing this helps you create an effective marketing campaign. Now, I believe you'll be much more successful in your sales if you look at every lead you have and include them as part of a marketing campaign. Calling someone once and throwing their number away is not what I consider a marketing campaign. But again, UCS, use common sense. This isn't to mean that every lead is always to be kept, and there are times you'll have to delete and toss them out. To create a marketing campaign with your leads takes belief and vision if you're going to stick with it for the long term. Let me share with you numerous ways to being persistent. I encourage you to use my ideas to help you get your creative juices flowing so you can think outside the box more than you ever have. A penny compounded is worth millions. Your efforts can be too. Perhaps you've had someone ask you the following trick question. Would you rather have $10,000 per day for 30 days or a penny that doubled in value every day for 30 days? Being that I forewarned you that it was a trick question, you may have concluded to take the penny deal. Investors know to choose the doubling penny because at the end of the 30 days, we'd have about $5 million versus the $300,000 we'd have if we choose $10,000 per day. Don't believe me? Let's look at this in detail. I'm sitting with my calculator and we'll give you a play-by-play in benchmarks. On the first day, of course, we'd have a penny. On the second day, we'd have 2 pennies, then 4, then 8, then 16. That's after 5 days. By day 10, we would have $5.12. It seems to start off a little slow, but be patient. We've gotten to the dollar values pretty quickly, but day 15, halfway through the month, we would have $163.84. The next part is where the magic begins. By day 20, we have $5,242.88. Day 25, $167,772.16. Day 30 puts us at a whopping $5,368,709.12, well over $5 million. This is why compound interest is often called the eighth wonder of the world, because it's so powerful. I want you to understand that your efforts in being persistent will work the same way if applied correctly. As long as you come at it from different angles, your efforts will eventually compound in results if you don't give up. When you think one idea isn't working, be of the mindset that it's okay as long as your strategies include other facets. Don't focus on just one. When I refer to our 100 times 10 principle, it doesn't necessarily mean those 10 things have to be phone calls. It could be 3 calls, a thank you card, a gift, a personal visit. Be creative with this. Something else that I use from time to time is I'll text a cute animal picture. I have one with a really adorable pug puppy that has the cutest, most innocent look, as if it's saying, "Why are you ignoring me?" So I'll text that with a message. I also have an app where I can customize a caption, personalizing it with their name. I actually have about 70 pictures on my phone like this. It changes things up and gets them to smile. This can be priceless because the first thing people may subconsciously remember about you is how you made them smile. Keep trying different facets and understand that if you keep dripping, sooner or later your efforts will compound. In order to achieve these results, you must have patience, strategies, relentless persistence, belief, value, and vision, to name a few. You should also have the ability to see the big picture no matter how bad it gets or what others say about you in the small picture. Cost is an issue only in the absence of value. Much of successful selling is based on a belief that I'm sure you may have heard before. Cost is an issue only in the absence of value. Let's think about this statement for a moment. If you call or meet someone face-to-face and they don't buy, ultimately the reason is for them, there is an absence of value. Sometimes you control this, but many other times you may have nothing to do with controlling it, as I'll be discussing with you shortly. There can be endless reasons why this might be. Many times you may not be able to find out. It could be something as simple as stress. Someone could be so stressed out at the moment you call them that they'll have no interest in your offer because something else is pressing for their attention. You could be giving them $1 million, but because they're so stressed or distracted, they may not have heard a word you said and gave you the cold shoulder with a no, or worse yet, a hang up. So in this particular case, timing is the problem. Here is the wisdom in being smart, as we discussed in an earlier chapter. You can't give up, and you must keep the 100 times 10 going. If you contacted someone and the timing was bad, which resulted in an absence of value, why would you not consider making another contact later in the day, week, month, or year? People's circumstances change all the time. If you have a marketing campaign fueled by your vision of success, you'll understand that sooner or later, if you're in front of the potential customer more than your competitor, they'll take the bait with you first in many cases. In order to create interest, you must present value. Don't think conventionally when you try to think of ways to present value. This is the time to think outside of the box. Transferring value. Transferring value is one such technique and by far has been one of my most effective ways to remove the absence of value challenge. Here's how it works. A potential customer may blow you off because they don't see value, but if they had a close friend or a fellow colleague who used your product or services and respected the value in your offer, their opinion could change immediately. Here's a scenario for you. I call a company CEO to pitch about seeing what I can do to get into speaking for one of their larger events. I make the first call and get blown off. I don't forget ultimately that he didn't show interest at the time because of the absence of value. Now what do I do? Here are the thoughts that go through my head. Okay, he didn't give me the time of day. There was no possible way I would have even had the chance of giving him enough reasons to get him to see the value of my offer or work. What will I need to do to get to him so that there is no absence of value? And this is how I think and start the process. But I obviously don't stop here. I now must come up with answers within my marketing campaign. There are several possibilities. First, make contact within the corporation and get someone else to see the value in my offer or services, and then get them to transfer the value to the CEO. Another way to do this is to find a leader within his organization that conducts their own meetings on a smaller scale that might be more open to allowing me in to speak for their group, and then let that feedback get to the CEO. As you can see, this becomes a well-thought-out campaign and strategy. So then my team would search the name of a leader within the organization and make contact with them. I would even offer to fly in on my own dime and do training for the leadership team, but under one condition. I would be very upfront with the leader and let him know that we tried to make contact with the CEO with no success. I would tell the leader that I have a selfish motive to coming in to speak on top of helping his team grow. The selfish motive is to get testimonials from those in attendance and directly mail the feedback to the CEO. This is the ultimate goal in transferring value. It's one of the most effective tools I know and use. After my presentation, I pass out little pieces of paper, nothing fancy, to all in attendance and tell them exactly why I'm asking them to do this. And after I have that feedback in hand, I mail them to the CEO. If I happen to get the CEO's email, I send it that way later as well. Remember, sometimes you have to go through the front door, other times through the sewer, mailbox, chimney, or whatever else, you name it. I can assure you that if the CEO gets a hold of just one of those testimonials, his perception of value will immediately start to increase. You'll have no idea how much, but even if it's just a little, it is progress. I've sent some CEOs testimonials from their colleagues time and time and again over a period of a year. I don't stop. How can someone fault me for having so much belief in what I do that I'm willing to travel the country on my dime to get in front of some of their team and prove my worth with more than just my talk, but with results from the field? Always look for ways to transfer value. Keep thinking outside of the box. And when you think you've come up with more answers, stop and think for more. For example, I've taken pictures of some of the best testimonials and then text them to a CEO if I have their number. If you stay in front of them, sooner or later their circumstances will change and you will want to be the person or company in front of them. In one case, I called and texted for 3 years without response. I made it a goal to fly to the city and stop by unannounced as we marketed to other companies in the same city. I dropped off some testimonials from local companies that he would have been familiar with. The next day, I received a call from his assistant. The day after that, a 30-minute appointment turned into a 1-hour and 45-minute one. A month later, I was meeting most of the entire company's key players and executives. 3 years of compounded efforts finally got results. Due to all my relentless efforts, I could write several books with stories like this. You want to be so persistent with such a strong belief and vision that you can relate success after success. If you can't, it's time to get moving. If you can, then congrats. And it's still time to get moving. Kill them with this and end up with class. Let me interject one very important point here that I've touched on in an earlier chapter. I can't emphasize enough how important it is to kill them with a stupid amount of kindness. No matter how nasty or rude someone is to you, you must kill them with kindness. I had shared with you that if you're not this kind of a person, then first fake it. Yes, act this way even though you don't feel it. If you buy into this philosophy, even if you don't like it, you will learn to be kinder if you make hundreds of calls or contacts. The reason is that sooner or later, you'll see the results from it, and it only makes sense to treat people this way. I'll be the first to tell you that I'm not always Mr. Kind. I'm human like everyone, but one thing being an incredibly persistent and relentless person has done for me is help me appreciate what someone like you and I have to go through on a day-to-day basis to become successful in selling. It's tough and challenging. It forced me to simply be as kind as possible to people no matter how they responded. It works and it keeps you in check when you make so many attempts to succeed in sales. You'll not only learn to be kind, but you'll become kind. This also helps eliminate the barnacles and the emotional drag that attaches to us mentally with all the no's we get. I recently had a manager of mine share with me a story about something that happened when he was training a new salesperson. He was listening on a call when the new person made a mistake and accidentally insulted the potential customer. The salesperson didn't realize what he had done till after he said it. The lady on the other end immediately hung up on him. Here's what our team is trained to do immediately when someone hangs up on them. Can you guess what it is? If you guessed call back, you're absolutely right. My manager did just that. The moment the lady picked up the phone, he immediately sincerely apologized with kindness. She was amazed that someone would take the time to actually call back after being hung up on. This does several things. First, it immediately shocks the person in many cases, which often causes them to feel bad that they hung up, and they are prone to listen to your apology. Second, most of the time, we end up turning them around because we've got the belief and the guts to call back with kindness. And third, whether they become a customer of ours or not, there is usually one word they commend us with for calling back with the positive, kind attitude we call with. The word is class. You guys have class is what we often hear. Imagine that. Instead of creating a story about being hung up on and bad-mouthing the person, you instantly call them back, kindly apologize, turn things around, and they wrap up the call by referring to you and your company as someone with class. Want to have more class? Try this on for size. Here's another way to have a potential customer end up thinking of you as having class or simply having more respect for you. Let's say you've exhausted all angles and you finally get in contact with whom you need to and you get that no. They tell you that they have no desire to do business with you. Now what? Do the classy thing. Send them a thank you card saying, "Thanks for taking my call or meeting with me. I do appreciate that as I know you're busy." I can assure you they'll never forget you. In fact, I found the ruder they are to me, the more they remember me after sending a card like that because they just can't imagine someone taking a time out to do something like that. Try it. Here is something that recently happened to me. I received a referral from a customer and I called the referral several times. When someone gives me a referral of someone they respect and know well, I will often make a few more attempts than normal because of the transferring of value. This gentleman finally answered and began to tell me why he wasn't interested, and then the phone went click. So what are you supposed to do when that happens? Not curse at them, but yes, call them back immediately. And I did. He didn't pick up, so I left a message that went like this. Hey Bob, this is Gary again. I'm not sure if you hung up on me, said with a very friendly and respectful tone, or one of us are in a bad spot and the call got dropped, but please try me back again. I'll do the same. Thank you kindly for your time, and I look forward to chatting again soon. It's very important to make sure to use the right tone, and it's got to be one of kindness, not rudeness or sarcasm, especially when you get to saying the words, hung up on me. Well, lo and behold, take a guess who called back the next day. He sure did. Of course, he denied hanging up on me, but I'm okay with that. I wanted to continue with the dialogue. These are the kind of results you can have when you have the guts of a burglar. And boy, can it change the dynamics of how you presently do things. Relay. Let someone else do the work for you. In aviation, we have a term that we refer to as getting or offering a relay. I'll give you an example of how it works and how it's used. A number of decades ago, before GPS was made readily available, I made a flight from Florida to Jamaica, where I was born and raised. My uncle was interested in purchasing a single-engine high-performance aircraft. I told him about one at the local airport. After speaking to the owner, he wanted me to rent the plane and fly it down for him to look at. He suggested at the time of the flight that I not try to go through the hassles of flying over Cuba and all the red tape that was involved in that. The other alternative was to fly around it, which adds up to an additional 3 hours or more and a lot of time flying a single-engine airplane over the water. As I flew over the ocean for hundreds of miles, eventually the air traffic controllers were no longer able to maintain radio contact with me. It can be a very empty feeling knowing that you have no one to talk to in case of an emergency. Not to mention, this was my first and longest flight ever over the ocean. I didn't have lots of experience, so my stress level was pretty high. So to let the air traffic controllers know my position and location, I would relay a message to commercial airliner 30,000 feet above me because my plane was too far over the ocean and at too low of an altitude to be picked up. I would hear an airliner speak to an air traffic controller, then I would call the airliner, and it went something like this. Me, Air Jamaica 6 Yankee Juliet Mike Papa, this is November 123, how do you read? Commercial airliner, November 123, this is Air Jamaica 6 Yankee Juliet Mike Papa, loud and clear, go ahead. Me, could you please do a relay for me? Commercial airliner, go ahead with the relay. Me, please tell Miami Control that November 123 is approximately 100 miles north-northeast of Haiti and expected to land to refuel there in about 40 minutes. And that's pretty much how it goes. So the airliner contacts the control on your behalf because, for whatever reason, you're unable to. So I thought over the years, if that worked for us pilots, why can't I use a similar approach in sales? If you're doing business to business especially, how often do you try to get to the decision maker but can't because of the gatekeeper or the person is never available for whatever reason? The following is how my relay would go. Me. Hey Betty, I've been unsuccessful for some time in trying to get a hold of John. I was wondering if you could kindly print an email that I'd like to send you, and then I'll try you back in the next hour or so to see if this is something he's willing to meet with me about. I only need 5 minutes or less with him on the phone, okay? In this relay, I'm pretty much telling her as opposed to asking her to help me out. Just go into the conversation with the assumption that he or she will help you out. I can't begin to tell you how many people I've gotten through by relaying. It's very creative and very effective. There's a slight drawback from time to time using the relay. In a sense, you're somewhat relying on someone to do a mini sales pitch for you, and if they blow it, you could be toast. But I'd rather attempt the relay as a last resort than walk away not making contact at all. Even if you get a no, it's better than being in a holding pattern. If I get a no and I think the potential customer is worth pursuing, 100 times 10, I'll devise another strategy to continue with. Let go if you're too emotionally attached. I shared earlier with you the importance of not creating a story or a negative association toward making repeated contacts. This, as I think you'll agree, is not the easiest thing to do. After years of pursuing a contact, there are times when I get a bit sick and tired of making more calls to the same company year after year. I don't like to admit that, but it's true, and I'm human. So instead of tossing the lead away, hand it over to someone else. It's easy for someone else to call on your behalf because they don't have the years of making the phone calls like you do. To someone else, it's a brand new lead, a totally clean slate. And after they've tried for a few weeks or months, they can give it back to you. If the lead is worthwhile, this is worth doing. Don't let the negative emotional attachment toward the lead cause you to dismiss it, especially if it's a whale. Your stories will always creep up. It's that self-talk that none of us can totally control all of the time. What we can control is whether we choose to obey the self-talk or not.